Today on More to Life, finding forgiveness. Are you struggling to forgive or be forgiven? Wondering how to receive God's mercy for your own mistakes or extend it to others? We'll help you heal. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, finding forgiveness. Are you struggling to forgive or be forgiven? Are you wondering how to really experience God's mercy for your own mistakes or extend it to others? Whatever the challenges are you're facing with forgiveness, give us a call and let us help you heal at 877-573-7825. 573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
We all walk around with a lot of wounds at times, and that's why forgiveness, and even if we can, reconciliation really matters. So, are you struggling to forgive someone for a recent hurt or betrayal, but you're not sure how to let go without pretending it didn't matter? Do you feel guilty because you know you're supposed to forgive, but part of you just isn't ready yet? Are you caught between wanting peace in a relationship and knowing reconciliation might not be healthy right now? Maybe you're carrying shame or regret over past mistakes and struggling to forgive yourself. Or maybe you're struggling to get forgiveness from someone you hurt. However, questions about forgiveness are complicating your life and well-being, well, we're here to help you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, I mean, I think we've all struggled with forgiveness in the past. I also think that we can make it more complicated than it actually is, and we'll talk about that through the show. I guess the short version here is that, you know, forgiveness is where we surrender our natural desire to hurt somebody for having hurt us, right? But reconciliation is when we've actually healed the wound, the rift between. And forgiveness is something we can do on our own, but reconciliation really requires cooperation from the other person. So it is possible to forgive somebody but not be reconciled to them.
Yeah.
But that feels weird. And it's not a fun place to kind of be, right? Because you guys, on the one hand, we feel, okay, good that I was able to let go of that festering anger on the one hand, but on the other hand, I don't know what to do with this relationship because I don't trust the person or they're not actually remorseful.
And that sometimes makes us not trust ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, if I've forgiven this person, but I can't really be in relationship with them, then what does that mean about my ability to handle the next thing in the relationship? And I think we also have to realize that forgiveness can come in stages. You know, you can forgive someone initially and say, okay, they hurt me in this way, but for my well-being, for my spiritual well-being, I'm choosing to forgive. But sometimes God allows us to unpack that over time and forgive more deeply over time. So, you know, I know there was somebody in my life that I forgave a long time ago, but as I grew older and began to realize that person's life experience and the things that person was going through had really informed their behavior, I was able to understand and forgive more and more. So sometimes we think we've forgiven, but then it comes back to us and we're thinking, well, I'm still angry, or I still wish this could work out. And God's going to work that out in time if we allow Him to. But forgiveness can be complicated, because being wounded by someone in any way, shape, or form really needs to be unpacked and healed in a myriad of ways. Relationally, our own emotions, our spiritual life, our relationship with God, if we're hurting because we're saying, well, why did you allow this to happen, Lord? Forgiveness can feel very, very complicated, but there are real steps that we can take to move into true forgiveness, true mercy, and reconciliation where possible. If you're wondering what those steps are in your particular situation, we're here to help you figure that out today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Again, today's show is titled Finding Forgiveness, and we're talking about the challenge to forgive others or be forgiven by others, to receive God's forgiveness even after we've, for example, confessed sins or struggles and we're still struggling with those things. How can we find forgiveness? Today on More to Life, 877-573-7825.
And I just want to touch on that for a minute because this is a Catholic radio station and people are probably saying,
Wait, I went
to confession and that's that. Mm. And no, it is because we've gotten the grace of our absolution to move forward and heal ourselves, possibly heal that relationship, possibly work something out with someone else when they participate in that. Going to confession is imperative if we have committed a sin against someone, but or we're holding a grudge against someone. But we have to realize that that forgiveness and absolution sort of supercharges us to be able to do the work from there.
Right, because the temporal what the church calls the temporal consequences of the sin still are there. So, you know, if I break a vase and I apologize to you for breaking the vase, you forgive me, but the vase is still in shambles on the floor.
Yeah.
Somebody has to clean it up. And so there are, you know, if I've damaged our relationship in some way, you know, I've done something to hurt you, I go confess it, that's good. God forgives me of that and gives me the grace to then come back to you and work that out. And that's got to be worked out either in this life or the next. That's what purgatory is about, right? Because nothing imperfect can enter into the presence of God. So, you know, in a sense, this is not accurate theological language, but in a sense, we will be in purgatory for the time it takes for the damage that we've done to the body of Christ to work itself out.
Yeah, we want to just, you know, but you're right. In a sense, that's the case. Don't be like, well, this is the theology according to Popchak.
No.
It's a metaphor for what we're talking about here.
So we can work it out in this life, or we'll work it out in the next.
Or we'll be working it out in the next. But realizing that the sacrament of reconciliation is imperative if a sin has been committed in this situation. But again, it'll supercharge you to be able to walk with God and do the work that he's calling you to do, and that might be laying on your heart.
877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might be wondering, how could some theology help me deal with these kind of challenges with forgiveness? It turns out, a lot. So St. John Paul, when he was pope, asked a huge question. He basically said, you know, if we take everything that God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that we're created to enjoy close connections with God and with each other. Now, original sin broke that connection. Instead of working together and caring for each other, people started taking advantage of each other. Ever since, our relationships have been complicated. Forgiveness and reconciliation are the ordinary ways that God invites us to help him put things back together and rebuild what St. John Paul II calls a civilization of love.
And one of the most helpful insights from the theology of the body is really understanding the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. I was alluding to this a little earlier. You know, forgiveness is something that happens inside us first. It's the choice to let go of resentment and stop wanting to hurt the person who hurt us. And we can forgive even when the other person hasn't changed, because forgiveness is about freeing our heart from being trapped in what happened. And in that sense, forgiveness is always possible and always part of our own healing process.
But reconciliation, that's different. It's about restoring the relationship, and that takes two people, or however many people were in the situation. It requires repentance, honesty, and a real commitment to change. Love, as the theology of the body reminds us, has to be generous and truthful. Pretending everything is fine when it's not does not heal wounds. It just buries them, and they often just fester and come to the top over and over again. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do is forgive completely while still setting boundaries or stepping back from a relationship that isn't safe or healthy.
So a truly Catholic approach holds mercy and wisdom together. Forgiveness opens the door to grace. Reconciliation restores closeness when both hearts are ready. And used well, both of these things are powerful ways that God brings healing and can make all things new through His grace. Well, that all sounds great in theory. How do we apply it to your situation? Well, that's why you're going to give us a call at 877-573-7825. Tell us, how are you struggling to forgive or be forgiven? 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your calls and questions. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you and we bring to you those situations where we're struggling to forgive others or be forgiven by others. We ask you for the grace to face these offenses and hurts honestly, directly. But we ask for the wisdom to know how to respond to them in ways that will heal the hurt, that will allow us to surrender our desire to hurt the other person for having hurt us, so that we can truly forgive, and, if possible, reconcile. But we also ask for your grace in those situations where we can forgive, but can't reconcile because the other person is not remorseful or unwilling to change, and so we need to set boundaries. Help us to know how to create boundaries that will keep us safe, will keep them safe from committing those same harms for hurts against us, and will leave the door open for possible healing should they ever be open to it. We give you our hearts, and we ask you to make us open to the healing that you have in your heart for all of us, so that even in the face of these kinds of offenses, we can build your kingdom through forgiveness and reconciliation. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, finding forgiveness. If you're struggling to forgive someone for hurting you, either for a recent or past hurt, or you're struggling to be forgiven by someone, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Lynn, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nevada.
Nebraska, I think.
Nebraska, yeah. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Lynn, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you.
Hi, Lynn, what's up?
I have probably both sides of your conversation. I have a daughter who was molested by her brother when she was little, and I didn't know it was going on until about 3 years ago, and they're all in their 30s and 40s now. So this has been quite some time that this has gone on, or has been held by my daughter, and she hasn't truly forgiven me for my role in it because she thinks I was aware and chose to do nothing about it, which that's not true, but evidently she tried to say something to me about it, and I don't even remember the conversation, but she said I just kind of brushed it off. It was about 3 years ago that I found out what was going on, and I tried to talk to my son about it and told him he needed to ask for their forgiveness, and he doesn't remember doing it, he says. he ended up writing them a letter and saying, I'm sorry for whatever it is that you think I did. So that was no help. He's not owning up to what happened. And my daughter acted like it wasn't a problem anymore. She had put it behind her. But our relationship has vastly changed. The closeness is not there anymore. And I don't know what to do to try to...
And how have you tried to address it with her? You know,
We have talked about it. I have told her at least a couple of times that I didn't know what was going on, and that makes her angry. So I don't know if I should just pretend that I did and try to address it that way. Or
no, I mean, I wouldn't lie.
You never want to bring lies into a situation like this.
Yeah, I understand why you'd be tempted to go there, but I don't think that'll be helpful in the long run. Just one more question on, what's your relationship? Like you said, your relationship has suffered now just in the last 3 years since you became aware of it, or all along? Because I'm trying to understand if this was something that she was experiencing all this time, you know, what changed in your relationship?
I think she just finally started talking about it, and I think she wants me to say, yes, I remember it, and I'm so sorry that I didn't do something about it at the time. I don't know. I think that's why she threw away. We're still, we're still friends. We still do things together, but anytime that conversation comes up, it gets prickly.
Do you have any idea, Lynn, why after, decades of this, that now in the last 3 years, she started to discuss this? Is she seeing a counselor? Did the counselor kind of help her discover this? No, she just acknowledged it and came to you. There's been she's been getting no help in coping with this, and you haven't tried to get any help together. Is that right?
I asked her. I went to a counselor for a while, but she said she didn't need to talk to a counselor. That she and her sisters she's got two other sisters, another one that was also involved in the abuse. But my son went through a pretty messy divorce, and there were a lot of allegations about things that he had done. He lost his job, and that's what brought it.
I need to hop in. I apologize for interrupting you, but we have to go to commercial in about a minute or so, and I want to make sure I'm giving you something to work with. So here's what I'd suggest with your daughter when this comes up. Obviously, I don't want you, as you were saying, to pretend that you knew something you didn't know, but I think that it's okay to say, you know what? I didn't know, but I think I should have, and I'm sorry. I can, from your perspective, I can certainly understand that you were counting on me to know, and I let you down in that way. I didn't mean to. That wasn't my intention. And if I would have known, I promise you, I would have done something. But you're right to be angry that the person that was supposed to be protecting you didn't for whatever reason or couldn't for whatever reason. And I am so incredibly sorry that I was not able to be there for you in the way that you needed me to be. I wish that I could do that over again and respond and have heard you when you tried to tell me. I wish that I could have given you the protection that you deserved. And I'm so sorry that I didn't. It wasn't intentional, but I do feel that sorrow, that anguish, and the pain that you're feeling. And whatever I can do now to help you heal, whatever I can do to help you, not even with this, to help you feel supported by me and here for you in ways that maybe I couldn't be in the past, I want to listen to whatever it is that you have to tell me and talk about how we can be together and move forward with you feeling supported by me. That, I think, is the direction that you want to be going in for there, because you're really addressing the deeper issue of, Mom, can I trust you to hear me and be there for me? And if you can address that from both the past perspective and from the going forward perspective, I think that's going to give you the way forward. Give that a shot. And if there's more that we can do to support you after that, give us a call back here on the show. Or if you'd like to work with us personally through CatholicCounselors.com, we'd be happy to walk with you through those next steps of healing. But I believe that these suggestions will get you moving forward. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. Today's show, Finding Forgiveness. If you're struggling to forgive someone or be forgiven by them, let us help you walk those steps toward healing. In addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
It's the new year, and many of us are thinking about the changes we'd like to see in our marriage, family, and personal lives. I'm Lisa Popcheck with CatholicCounselors.com. Discover how our team of professional pastoral counselors can help you break unhealthy patterns, heal relationships, and become the person God created you to be. At CatholicCounselors.com, we're committed to helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish. Visit CatholicCounselors.com today to schedule an appointment. Let us help you celebrate God's plan for your best life.
Hello friends, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers here, and I haven't been this excited about an up-and-coming speaker for a long time, Dr. Marcus Peter. Dr. Peter has the gift of combining deep theological insight, wisdom, and knowledge with personal testimony and story in a way that makes the power of the church's teaching and God's love felt deeply in the heart of all who hear him. If you are looking for someone for your next conference, parish mission, or event, look no further than Dr. Marcus Peter.
Visit MarcusBPeter.com to book Dr. Marcus Peter to speak at your event.
At the Ave Maria website, you can continue the discussion and education through the Ave Maria Radio's links to social media. Ave Maria Radio has accounts on Facebook, X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the social media symbols at the top of your screen.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. And today's show is titled Finding Forgiveness as we talk about the challenge of forgiving others and being forgiven by others. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Lisa.
It's really hard to kind of both give and receive forgiveness. I think we can all do a better job with our apologies, and you have some thoughts about that.
I do. I spent way too long putting qualifiers on my apologies that I gave and the ones that I especially received from Matthew, my husband. He didn't say it soon enough. He didn't use the right words. His tone was off. And so I would hesitate to even say, I forgive you. And we need to work on that because that attitude is not helpful at all in healing a relationship and making it holier, much less happier. And so I think what we need to do is, in humility and charity, if someone says they're sorry to us, we just say, thank you for that apology. And we should be quick to say we're sorry if someone tells us we've hurt them or that something's gone wrong. It doesn't mean everything's perfect and we go on as normal, but we give that generously and accept it generously. And then we can try to make a plan together so we don't find ourselves in that same argument or disagreement or misunderstanding again.
Yeah, and that's a really important piece. And I think, you know, it's good to acknowledge that a good apology really includes three parts. You know, it's like feel it, own it, fix it is how I like to kind of say it.
Yeah.
Like you know, and not all three parts need to be there for every apology, but especially for the more serious things they do. You know, where the feel it part is really about, you know, I get how badly I hurt you, and I'm so sorry. You can tell that I'm empathizing with you, right? The own it part is, you know, you had a right to expect better from me. It wasn't that your skin was too thin or you don't have a good sense of humor or your expectations are too high. It's I screwed up. And you had a right to expect better from me. And then finally, the making the plan piece that you're talking about. And it's okay to, I think, first to be generous, like you said, about I accept your apology. But then to go back and say, But I still kind of need this from you to be able to move
exactly.
forward. And that's part of
yes.
that plan, right?
Exactly, because what we want to do is we are all going to make mistakes and we all make misunderstandings, but we want to work at doing it maybe once, twice, three times. We don't want to keep having to apologize for the same thing again and again and again. We all have, as couples, those returning arguments. Well, let's put an end to that. Let's try to grow holier and healthier together by saying, we've argued over this now for the nth time. What can we do so this doesn't become an argument, but a discussion, a plan to go forward? You know, and it can happen with your children as well, that every time that we have an argument, we want to leave in love and to say, this is the last time I want to have this argument with you because it hurts you and it hurts me. What can we do together under the headship of God, our Father, to say what needs to be solved, fixed, or repaired?
And I think, you know, it's especially important, you know, as a mom of a large family, to for all of us to realize that we learn those steps of forgiveness and reconciliation in family, growing up.
Exactly.
You know? And too often when we discipline our kids, it's, you know, we let them say the magic words and then they're off the hook. Or you know, we go through the motions of forgiveness, but we don't really walk the steps of reconciliation. And what you're describing here is exactly how we learn to forgive and be forgiven as God is calling us to in everyday family life by dealing with those little offenses and hurts and having that conversation that allows us to make sure we don't repeat those things. Rachel, thanks so much for being with us. Always a pleasure to talk with
God
you.
Bless.
And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to beholdpublications.com. That's beholdpublications.com to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. And with that, we're taking your calls. Listeners at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls about finding forgiveness right after this break. Stick around.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
What is meditative prayer? The Catholic Catechism defines meditative prayer as, above all, a quest. The mind seeks to understand the why and how of the Christian life in order to adhere and respond to what the Lord is asking. Since the required attentiveness is difficult to sustain, we are aided by books such as Sacred Scripture, especially the Gospels, holy icons, liturgical texts of the day or season, and writings of the spiritual fathers. If we meditate on what we read, we make it our own. If we are humble and faithful in meditation, we discover in meditation the movements that stir the heart, enabling us to discern those movements. We are asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? There are as many methods of meditation as there are spiritual masters. The Catechism urges us to develop the desire to meditate regularly. All meditation should advance us to the knowledge of the love of the Lord Jesus. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Do you feel held back by your inner critic? That little voice whispering, I can't, or I'm not good enough. The spiritual master and doctor of the church, St. Ignatius of Loyola, realized that these disheartening thoughts, which he called desolations, are not from God, especially when they tempt us from becoming who God wants us to be. Consolations, on the other hand, come from the Holy Spirit. These positive thoughts encourage us to trust in God's plan for us. If we want to follow God's plan, we need to quell that inner critic and listen instead to the consoling voice of the Holy Spirit. Here's a practice that can help. First, every day, write down your successes. Did you make someone smile? Did you exercise despite feeling low? Write it down. Next, write down the strengths or virtues behind those successes. The kindness that brought out that smile, for instance, or the persistence that helped you exercise. Finally, turn your virtues into daily I am statements. I am kind, or I am persistent. Doing so will remind you that your identity flows from the gifts of God's grace, not that inner critic. For one-on-one support on your spiritual journey, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Finding Forgiveness, as we talk about the challenges of forgiving others or being forgiven by others. If it's getting a little sticky for you on either side of that equation, give us a call at 877-573-7825. You know, as we were talking with Rachel Watkins, I made the point that we learn those steps of Christian forgiveness and reconciliation in family life growing up. But sometimes it's hard to do that. And as parents, we can struggle to help our kids learn those steps. A great resource for you is the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. It's where Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches from Catholic Counselors meet with parents every day to provide the coaching support that you all need to build a more loving, caring, connected Catholic family life. In addition to the coaching, there are tons of creative resources like monthly downloadable activities, podcasts, a monthly live stream event with a live Q&A with Lisa and I, and tons of other resources to help you build a more dynamic, loving domestic church. Check it out if you want daily parenting support and a great community of other Catholic families just like you. Come together on the Catholic Home app. Again, that's Catholic H-O-M, Households on Mission, wherever you get your apps. Check it out. With that, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about finding forgiveness, either for yourself or giving that forgiveness to others. How do you do it? Well, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Megan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Iowa.
Megan, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Thank you. Well, I truly feel the Holy Spirit has guided me to your station this morning. My husband drove my car last and was listening to you guys.
Yeah. It's all his fault. Okay.
Absolutely love it.
Like, it brought me to tears, you guys, because I have been going through a situation personally with my mom, who we grew up super close, but, you know, as we've grown and I have a family of my own, a beautiful husband, four kids. You know, I've just realized, and truly most importantly grown in my Catholic faith, is just some boundaries that I needed to put in place for myself and for my family. And I have never felt more called to call into a radio station to hear more about how that can be holy.
Okay.
Because it's very difficult.
Yes, it is.
I feel like in my soul and my spirit, I feel a forgiveness for her for the things that have happened and continue to happen. I forgive the actions, but would love to hear some more on why the...
Can I ask, Megan, what sort of boundaries did you set, though? Like, just so I know what to work with here.
Sure. Just, you know, I do expect to be talked to in a way that's respectful. And, you know, if I bring a concern to anybody, including her, I would hope that we could have a conversation. But unfortunately, it just was trending that things would be turned on me rather than met with a listening ear. And, you know, I'm willing to admit my faults. I'm not perfect and I'm definitely human. But without that being reciprocated, it became a very tough and heavy burden. And at one point, unfortunately, she involved one of my kiddos, and so it really overstepped a boundary for me on a lot of levels.
Mm-hmm. And so in terms of the limits that you've placed on the relationship, is it no contact, or is it she's allowed to, you know, see you in these situations but not those, or you guys can, you know, get together and talk about lots of things but not these things? Like, what's the nature of the limit that you've placed on your mom?
That's a great question. We've somewhat stair-stepped through all of them, and unfortunately at this point have become no contact, which definitely is not ideal. But mm-hmm. it seemed that as I would enforce a boundary, she would push the line and step over it, so I'd have to set it a little harsher and a little mm-hmm. harsher. And when it came finally to involving what of like talking negatively about myself and other people to one of my kids, like I really had to set a hard and fast boundary of, you know, that's not allowed.
Okay. So. Thank you. So, and your question basically then is because we can go a couple of different directions here. So just to clarify, mm-hmm. what is it that we can help you with?
I would just love to hear more on the topic of being Catholic and setting boundaries and how that's
okay.
That doesn't have to be like, I don't love you, because that's not true.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Right. So let's talk a little bit about kind of what, from a kind of Christian perspective, what a good boundary looks like, you know, how to set it well and how to maintain it.
And I really love the fact that you felt called to ask that question today, Megan, because so many of us, especially in a society right now where going no contact seems to be a trend. And I think in some instances, it's absolutely necessary. And in some instances, people are kind of going with the trend because it's easier just not to talk to the person who's, you know, making my life
harder.
And
it doesn't sound like that's where you're coming from.
That doesn't sound like it at all. I love the fact that you're stepping aside from a secular trend to, wait a minute, I know that what I'm doing is right and healthy for me and especially my children at this point. But how do I do this in a way that's holy? How is this working for Catholics? How do I do this in a way that allows the Holy Spirit into the situation so I know what God wants me to do? It's a wonderful question, Megan. I think it's going to bless a lot of people.
So what a lot of people get wrong about boundaries is they basically think it's a response to kind of being angry about something, right? I get angry with you, and then, like, I'm not going to deal with this anymore. And then either we go right to a cutoff, or we say, you know, I'm not going to do this with you, you know. But we do it in anger, and we don't give the person a way forward. And if we do that, then what happens is when we calm down, then we feel guilty about it, right? And also, we haven't been clear about what it takes to move forward, so they start to wheedle and kind of manipulate us. And then we feel even more guilty, and then we let them go ahead and do the thing. And then, of course, they abuse our trust, and then it makes it worse.
But it sounds to me, Megan, when you're talking about, you know, feeling like the Holy Spirit drew you to the station today, that you have clearly given her parameters. She keeps overstepping, so you've kind of been forced to continue to move them. But it also sounds like you have a real heart for if she just suddenly started to have some insight and say, I'm going to work within the bounds you're giving me, I'm not going to talk, you know, nasty about you to the kids or whatever, that you would be grateful and start to move that back and let her grow in that. So you're inviting her to live a more virtuous life and relationship with you.
Well, yeah, so that's really what a good boundary is from a Christian perspective is it's giving a person a healthy way to do the thing that they're doing in an unhealthy way. So the metaphor I like to use, and regular listeners have heard me say this before, but I think it's a good illustration of the issue. You know, imagine that your mom liked to climb in the back window of your house. Like, that was her special way to get into your house, and it really meant a lot to her. But every time she did it, she would, like, knock over the plants, and then she'd, like, you know, mess up the floor with her footprints and get dirt all over the place. And
smash everything that you had in front of the window.
Yeah.
You know.
And you were like, Mom, could you please stop climbing in the back window? It's like, but I'm your mom, Megan. I should be able to climb through the window.
This is special to me.
This means a lot. Like, all right, fine, Mom. And then she does it again and makes a bigger mess. It's like, Mom, enough. Okay, can you just come through the front door like everybody else? And she's like, well, Megan, I thought you were a Christian. How dare you tell me that I can't have my special entrance into your house? It's like, ugh, fine. And then what you do is you say, you know what, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm just going to lock the window. The door is unlocked, Mom. You can come through the front door anytime you want. You just can't climb through the window anymore. And in response to that, a healthy person will say, well, I'm kind of frustrated that I can't climb through the window anymore, but I get it. Fine, I'll come through the front door. An unhealthy person will stand in the backyard and scream through the window, let me in my window! Why did you lock me out?
Or she'll do what you seem to think your what you seem to be saying your mother is doing, which is blame you. Well, if you just moved all that stuff and made a path for me and rearranged everything in your, you know, back room, I'd be able to. So it's really your fault that things are getting messed up, even though I'm the one climbing through your back window when there's a perfectly good front door.
And you don't have to convince the person who's standing in the backyard yelling at you that they're wrong. You let them be there. And you just keep pointing to the front door, and when you walk past the window, you notice they're there. You just say, you know, you can walk through the front door anytime. I'm happy to have you in, but I'm not going to let you in the back window anymore. That's also working for their good, okay? Because normal, healthy people don't climb through windows to get into people's houses, right? Now, this is a ridiculous metaphor, but to put it more in specific situations, you know, it's not good for your mom to be allowed to treat you disrespectfully and cruelly, or be you know, abusive, or involve your little children in the conflict that she has with you. Those are all sins, right? Against you, against charity, right? And so to love somebody means to work for their good. So setting boundaries around inappropriate behavior doesn't just protect you, it prevents them from engaging in that near occasion of sin, where we put them in a situation where they can't resist doing the wrong thing, right? So setting the boundary says a couple of things. It protects us from the offensive behavior. It gives the other person a healthy way to move forward with their intention. So you say, you know, Mom, if you want to talk about this, I'm happy to talk about it. You know, you have to be able to listen as well as, you know, point out what your concerns are about me, and you can't involve the kids, okay? And if you do that, then we can't talk about these things. So you're giving her a healthy way forward, even though you're putting boundaries around the unhealthy behavior. Now, then it's up to her whether she wants to walk through the door you've held open for her or not. If she does, great, reconciliation is possible. If she wants to stand in the backyard and scream at you to unlock the window, that's on her. Right, that's not you being a bad person or a bad Christian. That's you standing for what a healthy relationship looks like, and your mom choosing to want to do her things her way instead of having a healthy relationship with you. And you don't have to participate in that. In fact, it would be better for you to not. It's a prophetic witness for you to say, look, this is what a healthy relationship looks like, and I'm going to stand for that. And I would love for you to join me in it, but I'm not going to be crazy with you.
Now, just to make sure that you think we're not just, you know, making this up, let's look to Scripture for a moment. And the fact that Jesus, who did everything for us, okay, gave everything, suffered, died, the whole nine yards for us, reaches out to us, even in small ways, like having your husband set the radio to this dial at this time of this day. He is actively working for us to know him and to love him and be in relationship with him all the time. And yet, when the rich young man came to him and said, I've done this and I've done that and I've done the other thing, and I, you know, what can I do to follow you more, to be with God more? And Jesus said, go and give everything away and come and follow me. And the young man could not do it and walked away. Jesus did not run after him and say, well, just give half of it away. Or just come visit me on weekends. He didn't twist himself into a knot. He offered the loving invitation.
He held the door open.
He said, here's my front door. Come on and come be with me. Travel with me. Live with me. I love you. But this young man couldn't do it. Now, we don't know if, you know, years later, after Jesus rose from the dead, he repented of this and he became a follower of Christ in entirety. We don't know, because it's not in Scripture. The invitation was always there, because it's there to all of us. It's the same situation now. We are allowed to set these boundaries to help ourselves and the other person live in holiness and grow in virtue. And right now your mom is in a place where she's feeling really victimized because somebody's actually not just telling her she's wonderful all the time. And I'll tell you what, as soon as you said, Mom and I were really close, I went, uh-oh. Because this happens a lot, where a parent is so close to a child growing up, they have a really hard time giving that away when the child becomes an adult and gets their own family and their own life and has to say, I still love you, still want you there, but here's the boundaries because I have this other family and this life.
And as long as you can live within kind of her bubble, then everything's okay. But if you move outside the bubble, then she doesn't know what to do with you. And that's a pretty common struggle for parents of adult kids. We do talk about that too. And so I would say, just to wrap up, Megan, you want to make sure that whatever boundary you set gives your mom a healthy way forward, that you've been clear with her about what that healthy way forward would be. But if she chooses to stand in the backyard and keep yelling at you through the window, you don't have to attend to that. You just keep pointing to the front door and say, Mom, I'd love to be able to be in relationship with you. I'd love to have you in my life. But this is what I need from you in order to do that. And you keep calling her to do that healthy thing. You're not just shutting her out and saying, I'm not talking to you. You're pointing to the healthy thing that would need to happen in order to be in a better relationship. And as long as you're doing that, then you're doing what God would expect you to, in a relationship. We talk about this more in my book, God Help Me. These people are driving me nuts, making peace with difficult people. It's really all about setting boundaries and facilitating reconciliation in situations like this. You can check it out at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And again, the title, God Help Me. These people are driving me nuts, making peace with difficult people. Thanks for the call, Megan. We really appreciate that. And give our thanks to your husband as well for tuning in and keeping it on the dial.
And just keep it on EWTN Radio. Don't change that channel again. There's no point.
Glue it in place.
Yeah.
877-573-7825. We're talking about finding forgiveness. Whether you're struggling to forgive someone else or get their forgiveness, we want to help you walk the steps toward forgiveness and reconciliation. 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20.
God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
And I love this verse, especially for this show, because it talks about, you know, God forgave us through Christ, but then asks us to participate in that work of reconciliation by giving us the ministry of reconciliation. We hear this verse, and sometimes we just think of the sacrament of reconciliation, and certainly Christ gave the church that incredible sacrament, and we should all take more advantage of it than we do. But he has given to all of us, even the common priesthood, the ministry of reconciliation by calling us to work with his grace to heal the damage that sin has done to our relationships. And as we do that, like Megan is trying to do with her mom, you know, we present healthier and holier ways of being in relationship with each other, which leads all of us to be able to build God's kingdom and that civilization of love St. John Paul talked about, where Christian relationships really are the example that can transform the world. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. With that, we're taking your calls about forgiveness, both finding it and giving it, today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Steve and Janet Ray here, inviting you to join us in Portugal, Spain, and France as we follow the three children of Fatima and Saint Bernadette of Lourdes and encounter lots of surprises along the way. These moving apparition sights never fail to inspire awe, healing, and a love for Our Lady, exquisite countryside, and our Spanish chaplain, Father Alfonso Aguilar.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Finding Forgiveness, as we talk about the challenge of both giving forgiveness and getting it from others. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sue, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Denver.
Sue in Denver, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Good morning. I just have a simple question. How do you forgive somebody who is already dead?
Yeah, it's a very simple question to state.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult thing to work out in oneself, isn't
situation,
it?
But
would it be okay to ask for a little more detail? Like, what are you trying to forgive, or what's the situation here? Would you be willing to speak to that?
An offense against a child.
Mm-hmm. So, are you the child in this situation, or is this your child? Or
no. I would be the child. I also have a sister-in-law with a different situation, a cousin with this. So I know it's not just me. I know that it's something.
Oh, it certainly isn't.
Scary.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I understand. Yeah. But what does forgiveness kind of require of you in that situation, right? Especially if they're deceased at this point.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's speak to that.
And I really appreciate the question, because as you were saying, Sue, this is a concern for many, many people. And when they listen to a show like this and they're hearing, set boundaries, work things out, create invitations for people to come back, they're thinking, well, what in the world do I do? This person has already gone from this world, and I'm still hurting.
So forgiving somebody, as we said at the beginning of the show, and this is St. Augustine said this, St. John Paul said this, is when we surrender our natural desire to hurt someone for having hurt us, or have them hurt and suffer for having hurt us. Okay, so that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is when I say, you know what, yes, they hurt me, but I don't want to hurt them back, and I don't want them to suffer either. And so there are sort of two parts, if you will, to forgiving somebody who's deceased. And the first part would be getting ourselves to the point where we can pray that they wouldn't be eternally punished for what they did to us. You know, and especially when we're talking about abuse of a child, you know, that's a very serious sin. And getting ourselves to the place where we can say, you know, Lord, I want you to forgive that person. I would like for them to be able to experience your mercy and be one with you in heaven eventually. That's going to be a hard place to get to, but that's what forgiveness would look like. You pray for the grace to want them to have that healing, to come to that place where they can see what they did, repent of it in purgatory, and be one with Christ in that next life. The second part of forgiving that person, though, is doing the work on yourself that needs to be done to heal the damage that they did to you. And how does that forgiveness? Well, let's go back to what we were talking about earlier. And again, this is not the perfectly theologically correct way to explain it, but it's a metaphor that helps us understand the quote unquote temporal consequences of sin. Nothing imperfect can enter into God's presence, right? So whatever damage we do to the body of Christ has to be healed before we can enter into heaven. That's what purgatory is about. We can either heal the damage we did to our relationships or other people, you know, through our sins in this life by working hard to repair those relationships. Or we have to wait for that damage to heal itself in the next life. So when we work to heal the damage that other people did to us, people who have gone especially, we are again, this is not theologically specifically correct, but it's metaphorically correct. We are decreasing the time they need to spend in purgatory for the sins they've committed, because the damage that they've done to the body of Christ in me, I am working to heal that wound so that they will no longer be held responsible for it, for the temporal consequences of that particular sin. So forgiving somebody who's deceased means those two things: getting ourselves to the place where we can pray for them and really hope that one day somehow they can be in God's presence. And secondly, working to heal ourselves so that we can heal the temporal consequences of the sins that were committed against us, so that they would no longer be held accountable for those things. And that's a lot. And sometimes that requires a lifetime. And it's okay if it takes a lifetime to get to that place. As long as you're walking that road, that's all God asks of us. The Catechism even says it's not possible for us to not feel or forget an offense, but, and I'm paraphrasing here, as we pray about that offense, we can be led to a place of compassion and understanding and grace and healing. And so that's what God is calling you to, Sue, in this process. And I hope that these remarks will help you understand what forgiving this person would entail. And folks, if you're struggling to either get or give forgiveness, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com and let us walk with you. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, personal life in the light of God's grace.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.